Welcome, welcome to What'd You Think, the post-movie review show that has tons and tons of spoilers. As you know by now, if you're a regular listener, if you haven't seen the movie yet, you need to turn this off right now, get in your car, go see the movie, come back, and turn it back on again. Today we are going to be reviewing Don Juan, which is, I found to be, the best unromantic comedy I think I've seen in a long time. And today we are joined by my wonderful co-host, Bobby Blakey. Yay! Hi, Bobby!
Hello! I'm here to torment you all!
And our super special guest today for this episode, Drusilla Blakey.
Ooh, I'm super
no relation.
Special.
You are.
She wears a helmet.
I'm not that kind of super special.
Only on game day.
That's right.
Drusilla, since your company, I'm going to go ahead and let you go first. With Don Juan, what did you kind of think initially, and how did it kind of compare to the previews? How did it kind of compare to what you were expecting versus what you saw?
Oh, gosh. Initially, the first time I saw the preview, I'm like, oh, this is a bunch of man crap. Who wants to see this stupid movie? But then, you know, the more previews I saw, the funnier I thought it would be. So, you know, I went in kind of with an open mind, knowing the subject matter was going to be about porn. But it was more than that, I think. Once people see it, hopefully they'll realize it's way more than that. And it's funny, and it's kind of romantic in a weird way, and it's a great movie. So hopefully everybody gives it a chance.
Okay. Well, Bobby, how do you think it compared to the trailer?
Actually, when I saw it, the first time, I've actually seen it twice now, and the first time I saw it at a press screening about a month and a half, 2 months ago, and at that time, they had only released a teaser trailer, which is the one that just says, you know, where it gives him listing out just the things that he loves, you know, that the only things he cares about, you know, my body, my boys, my girls, all that stuff, and the trailer didn't tell you a whole lot, so I had no idea going into it that the focal point was not just the relationship stuff and the deeper meaning that's there, but the porn aspect. It was total left field for me at that time because it was still early stages. So it didn't really have anything to compare it to, but I actually thought it was so much more than I expected.
I agree with you. When we saw the previews in the movie theater, I did decide I kind of wanted to go see it because it looked like it kind of turned the Mr. Romantic Stud thing kind of on its ear. And it looked like it was pretty funny. I wanted to go ahead and give it a try. I was really impressed, though, because I kind of thought it was going to be more of a where one character is, like, really, really wrong, and the other character is really, really wrong, and they get together and realize how wrong they are, and da-da-da-da-da, and that kind of resolution as a comedy situation. And what I got was, yeah, you do have your two major characters kind of at two different extremes, but they never really, while they're together, reach that epiphany that they are seeing life through two totally different points of view.
Yeah.
I like the fact, I mean, I totally agree with that, but I love the fact that it kind of, and I've talked about this with numerous people that have seen it and haven't seen it and whatnot, that the parallels between the addiction to porn and the female's addiction to the romantic, the false reality of the romantic love story weren't that far off from each other.
Right.
But it's all because of the stigma of the world makes porn bad, and it's okay to love romantic comedies. So one looks bad, but the other one, she's really the more selfish person in the whole relationship. Even though he has his issues of you know, connecting with people and stuff, she's selfish and doesn't want to give anything to her. She just wants to take.
Right. Yeah. She is a user, really, a manipulator in a way, and he is an addict. I think of what he does have a problem.
But is it really a bad problem? I mean, it's porn, and I mean, you know, to me. You know, I'm not saying I watch porn.
Yeah, right.
Every day, the time, or even now, for that matter. But, but see, I don't think his addiction. I mean, he did have a problem. I mean, someone that can't. I think that's with anything in life, is someone that can't step away from some people that work out, you know, get addicted to it. It's not just that word addiction, I think, is thrown around so much that people forget that addiction isn't just because you're obsessed with the bad things. It's things that, you know, it's that obsession with anything that can turn bad, you know. Collecting can be an addiction. You know, me and Cole can be told that we collect and we're obsessed with comics and whatever, but it's do you separate yourself in the real world from that world as well, is where that addiction line is, you know?
Yeah, and where, when, if it starts to affect your ability to relate to people.
Right, you know, and there's a lot of, like, per se comic people, since mentioning the collecting stuff, there's a comic people that can't separate themselves, so if they don't have anyone to connect with on that level, they kind of, they're only obsessed with that. And I think in the film, it's very subtle at first, how it's pointing out her obsession with that false reality of a relationship.
Uh-huh.
And he's got that false reality of connecting, and they're interwoven equally. But because of the stigma of porn and the okay, you know, the acceptance of the romantic comedy, you know, or the romance movie, whatever you want, whichever aspect, I think it gives it two completely different levels. And in reality, neither one is worse than the other. Yet both of them are just as bad, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, Drew, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, if you look at both of them, I think she probably had a bigger problem than he did, because at least he knew that he needed his porn every day, and she didn't even realize or want to admit how selfish she was in the relationship, because she was not just, you know, addicted to the romantic, you know, movies, but the idea that the man needed to take care of her and that he needed everything that she wanted to be happy. Like, you know, sending him back to school and get a better job and stop dressing this. Oh gosh, stop cleaning your own apartment, because men shouldn't do that. I mean,
I do agree with that, though.
That was crazy. And then she was unwilling to admit how selfish she was. It's just crazy.
Yeah. And she was amazed that he didn't understand that that's how it was supposed to be.
Right.
Well, see, and I thought that was such a brilliant, you know, and a lot of this, actually all of it contributes to the brilliance of what Joseph Gordon-Levitt was able to do, especially being a first-time director, that he took a story that you never really see that coming. You know, I know Drusilla mentioned she's noticed aspects early on. The first time I see it, I didn't really focus on that, because I'm seeing his obsession with porn and the stigma.
That's because you're a dude. You're like,
No, but I mean, that the stigma of porn in my mind is we're told porn is bad. You know, and I know it's not necessarily the greatest thing in the world, but we're told porn is bad, so you're focusing on that aspect of the story, and, dude, this guy's obsessed. And you totally, it takes you away from her problem until you see that scene in the grocery store when she starts saying, don't talk about cleaning, and you're like, bitch, what's your problem, you know?
One of the things that I thought was just so poignant from the very beginning, before the title even comes up, is they're showing all these commercials and images and magazines and pictures that we're bombarded with every day now of all these sexy women wearing barely any clothes. That's the very beginning of the movie. And I thought that was poignant to set it up that way, that we're bombarded with it. So why suddenly is porn such a bad thing when we see it every single day?
Right, you know? All right. The only real difference between porn and the images that we see every day is the actual act of sex itself.
Right. So I just thought that was clever writing, too, for being his first, you know, movie that he's writing. I mean, there was just so much happening. It wasn't really, to me, the porn was kind of a secondary story, really, to me. It was really about them learning what a real relationship was, you know, or what a real relationship should be.
Yeah, and how he kind of realizes that he needs to teach himself somehow, some way to relate to, actually emotionally relate to people, and not just have the entertainment or pornography as a crutch to, like they say in the movie, emotionally lose himself.
Then enter in our heroine.
To what?
The heroine of the movie to save us all from ourselves.
That's right. Well, I thought our new gal, I liked her actually a lot, because they picked a very average looking mm-hmm. woman. I mean, she's very average looking. She's nice looking, but she's not a babe. She's and older than he is.
And she's a ginger, and you know they can't be trusted.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I gotta watch mine like a hawk. Yeah.
Well, you know, I agree with you. I thought that was a very it's not just that she's the middle aged. It's not just that she's everything opposite of what he always looks for.
Right.
But she's also in a situation where she's lost everything. And so she's trying to find someone to connect with on a different level. And he, you know, that moment after, you know, where they have sex at her house and then, like, after the bath, you know, and everything else, and they connect for the first time, it's like, and a lot of this is his acting at that moment, too. Like, you see that emotion in his face.
Right.
That, like, holy crap. You know, he's seeing something different. It's not just about the sex. It's the emotional connection that is that writing force through the whole film. But you get so sucked in sometimes to their relationship and his porn obsession and this and that, that you know the connecting is missing, but you don't realize how strong that missing element in the relationship is.
Uh-huh.
Until that moment when you see that look on his face, that almost like he's about to start crying.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And then you're like, holy crap. And then you see how deep it is, and then there's almost like instant change. You know, the slight change of his hair makes him a whole different character, which I thought that was brilliant. That slick back hair thing is kind of the Guido vibe that he had to the whole film.
Yeah.
You just like, hey, that's just how he looks. But that small change of her talking about, I can rub through your hair, and you see him walking with the hair, you can see a whole different guy. It could have been a different actor altogether at that point.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And I was really happy with the ending not being the hand-in-hand into the sunset kind of thing. For a change, it was two people find happiness and a connection that may or may not last or no, but at least it's the beginning of living life in a different way.
Yeah, and they were both happy to have each other at that moment, and it is what it is.
See, I also love the fact, as a whole, that he went, you know, and a lot of people will argue the point sometimes, but that they went the R route, and obviously when you're dealing with porn, you're going to have to go R because of the nudity and stuff, but part of that is sometimes things get lost in these stories when you try to do the PG or the PG-13 because it's no longer real life.
Right.
And real life is not pretty all the time, and language isn't pretty, and, you know, and even those little moments that are filler that I've actually talked to some people, some reviewers that thought all that crap with him flipping out, you know, those little snippets of his road rage, they kept like, well, all that stuff was kind of pointless, but it was a very important thing to show his character.
It wasn't pointless because you saw the change, like, after that first encounter with Julianne Moore, you know, the next day when he's driving to church, he's singing. So I think...
Right, it's that. That's all that built up frustration and anger through the whole film that he doesn't even know he has.
Right,
and of course it's really funny that he's doing all this on the way to church. So it just adds a whole. Right. But I also that's the other thing is I really love that he questioned the church at the end.
Yeah,
when he gives that last confessional and she gives the same thing, he's really the same thing. He's you know not even anything different. You know, is there like a book or something? You know,
yeah, he's like. How are you coming up with these numbers, Father?
You know, and it points out a good point that, you know, I'm not trying to diss religion in this aspect, you know, whether it's Christianity or Catholicism or anything, but it's like, why is one, you know, they always say that, you know, all the sins are equal and stuff and this, but this guy clearly was not really wanting, up until that point, he didn't want any, you know, retribution or forgiveness for his sins. He was just doing it because that's what he did every day. And now he's thinking, hey, I'm doing better. I'm excited. I'm that little kid that finally ate his broccoli. And I want somebody to say I'm doing good. And not
right.
even
I want a star and a sticker and a toy.
Yeah, and not even God was giving it to him.
I'm not familiar with how you're supposed to do your penance, but he was basically doing them. Time is workout, and I thought you know I'm not Catholic, but I thought this was supposed to be a pious thing. But you know, certainly says no in this case.
You know, we're talking about religion, right?
Hey, well, and I thought it was funny too that what's her name, Barbara, was like, "Why are you talking to yourself?" You know,
what's funny about that is that was another moment. And unless you're in the gym a lot, you know, somebody like that made me laugh because I've seen those guys at the gym. And what that is that's a very conceited training episode, because what he's doing is he's talking to himself about how awesome he is, and that's the way he pumps himself. That's why he's like, "I'm a man. I'm this," and it's like it's the same mentality, and that's why when he goes to play basketball, it's because he's leaving his selfishness behind, and going to visit with to do stuff with other people.
Socialize.
Now he's instead of going to the gym to be obsessed with himself. He's going to the gym, and he's going to connect with these other people. He has no idea who they are.
Right.
You know, and he missed – and I don't know if it was on purpose, and I'm probably reading more into this.
No.
I'm having a Cole moment, but the moment when he goes in there and he shoots that first basket and misses, mm-hmm. it shows an imperfection for the first time in something he's doing.
Yeah.
I don't think that was on purpose. I think he just isn't any good at basketball, but – that's the first thing I saw as I see him go in there and he misses that basket, but he's not pissed off that he missed it. He just goes in and starts playing with these guys. He doesn't even know who they are.
But he was willing to go and do something with other people that he wasn't necessarily good at.
Right. Well, there's a lot of moments that he was very smart, and I'm sure this was a budgeting idea on top of storytelling.
Uh-huh.
But he was very smart the way he structured this film because, you get a lot of the same scenes over and over and over.
Uh-huh.
You have the car driving where he gets angry at somebody. You have him going into the church, going up the steps. You have him walking through that hallway at the gym. And you see the evolution of him walking. And then the girl walks with him. And then that last moment, he's singing in the car. And then he goes and he changes. That's the first time in the movie, on all those same repeated scenes, he changes.
Yeah.
And it's not the same stuff over and over. And you start seeing that through the movie. As he starts evolving as a person, he starts changing his everyday activities, which in turn makes him somebody different.
Right. Like even there's that one scene where instead of going to the club, he invites his friends out for pizza and they just hang out and have a guy's night,
Yeah.
And also the way he treats that one friend of his that he's always bashing, the one that likes going with the twos and threes because they work harder.
And
he starts even treating his friends better.
Yeah.
Well, what was your favorite part of the movie? What part did you like the best, made you laugh, or was the most gratifying for you?
One of the things that I actually really enjoyed was the one line that his sister had. She doesn't talk through the entire movie. He doesn't even acknowledge him or his girlfriend or anything that happens until, they break up. And she's like, well, you didn't need her anyway. I thought that was a cool moment, just to hear her one line.
I loved that.
Yeah. That she was actually looking out for him. And she actually cared about her brother the whole time and realized, you don't need this selfish woman telling you what to do. So I liked that moment.
That was phenomenal. I loved that because you think that she's totally tuned out, but she's just riding the waves until something interesting comes along. Mm-hmm. Well, Bobby, what'd you think?
Mine was going back into that whole perception of the porn versus the romantic love story film. It's the dialogue when they're having their fight, their big breakup fight. And I think it like punches everybody in the face with pointing out how they're not any different. And when she says, they're trying to justify one or the other, and she says, they win awards for these films. And he's like, they win awards for porn. It's like, it's a funny line, but it's a very important line because it's showing you there's no difference. Nothing you can say other than the sexual aspect is different between the two issues.
My favorite part, and you're going to laugh hysterically, was actually how many porn clips they could actually put in an R-rated movie. And if you think about it, it's R. There's this little probably 2 or 3 seconds worth of stuff that's the difference between R and A. And they can do these bizarre, comical, I was laughing so hard, comical montages of angles and shot, and while he's narrating over it, that just makes it almost cartoony.
Well, I was listening to an interview with him about that, and he was saying that the hardest part of this whole film, besides the initial getting it made and getting people to do it, was trying to cut those porn shots in, make them effective, make them porn, without making them porn. He's like, obviously we can't show what you need to show, so you understand it's porn, so you've got to show everything leading up to that moment, and everything around that moment, so you see that it's that dirty, gritty porn that everybody's watching. It's not staged crap, but you obviously still be able to show it in a rated R film and not make it a porn film.
Yeah, those clips were funny. I like the part where he's like, until they pan over and they show you a guy.
Oh, that is, I was so glad. As a guy, I have to tell you, that moment is the most brilliant part of the film as a comical nature of it. Because that crap is real. As a guy who's not afraid to admit that I've had my personal time with porn, that is nothing worse than it when you're like watching something and you're trying to get all into it, and then it shifts to the dude, and you're like, ah! And the look on his face was priceless, especially that he's finishing at that moment, and it's just like, oh god, come on, you know. And there's nothing you can do about it. It makes you feel like you did something wrong.
Well, I loved that Tony Danza was his dad. No, what perfect casting.
I thought he stole that movie. Oh. I mean, his stuff up at the beginning, you know, is very subtle with his yelling and his typical stuff, but his real pivotal stealing is when he meets her for the first time, and he just showcases how much of a pervert he is.
Total perv, and it bothers me because the only thing I've ever seen Tony Danza in is Who's the Boss. So seeing him cuss and talk to her, and he's like, hey, yeah, and he's like, where'd you get this piece of ass? And I'm like, oh my god, don't say that.
I just love when he goes to, and I would love to know if it was an improv moment or if it was scripted, when they're leaving and she goes to like kiss him and he kisses her on the lips.
Yeah.
And he just like kisses her flat on, and then he's if you watch his hands, he's trying to get his hands on her hips.
When she goes also to put the salad on the table, he's like, oh, put it right here, and she leans over and he puts his hand on the small of her back trying to touch her butt.
Oh, and they're in church, and he's staring right down at your shirt.
That was the best. He's like, hey, got that little subtle, like, off to the side stare when you don't want to be noticed.
Oh. Well, and then they're also sitting at the kitchen table, and they both have their beaters on because they're both all...
They took their shirts off from church.
Yeah.
You know, notice there's a moment in the movie, too, that going back to his obsession with stuff and the changing, that... And as we're talking about them taking their shirts off, it made me think of it is, if you notice that when they break up and he starts really dealing with all the drama and all the nonsense, you notice he stopped taking care of everything. Like his apartment that was always spotless is just filthy. There's crap everywhere. You know, it's little stuff that's in the background. They don't even talk about it. You know, that when his black friend comes over, I was really expecting, like, man, what happened to this place? He doesn't even mention it. He sits down like nothing's different.
But it is, like, his whole bedroom's a disaster.
Yeah, it's clothes everywhere. There's glasses and food stuff on the table. You know, there's a schlub living there now who has already stopped doing his obsessions had stopped at that point without anybody really realizing it. You know, the moment she left him and realized he had an issue, he stopped taking care of the thing, one of the things that mattered to him, which was his pad, you know, and I think that was an early aspect of the transition of him making a change to a different person that wasn't talked about. It just kind of happens in the background.
Mm-hmm. You're much more observant than I am.
I've seen the movie twice. I had to do the second time is watch for new stuff, check out the porn clips, and stare at Scarlett Johansson. I didn't need anything else at that point.
And like him and his Scarlett Johansson, I'm tired of her already.
Well, you're gonna be really tired of her when I buy this movie.
Well, is there anything else you wanted to add? And how many stars or how many whatever rating systems you want to give it? And would you recommend it?
Everyone needs to see this movie. It's very, very good, and it's not just about porn.
I actually, when I reviewed it, I actually gave it 5 stars or 5 bananas. I thought it was a perfect film. There was nothing about this movie that I did not like. And even seeing it the second time, knowing everything that happens in the movie, all the funny parts, all the emotion, where it's headed, you know, everything else, I was still just as entertained the second time. And I also give mad props to Levitt, who, you know, his career's on fire, and he basically can do anything he wants right now, and took that to make a film that was a very, very low-budget film. I think it cost maybe $3 million to make it, if 6 tops, and he made it look like a very expensive, well-made film with good cast, and I think I really hope people get out there and see it and support it, you know, because it's a film I think everybody would like, and it's something different.
Yeah, I agree. I agree very much. It's kind of an anti-romantic comedy, really, in my eyes. And I thought about giving it 4 stars because at the end of it, at first I really wasn't kind of satisfied with the end of it. But then I got to thinking about it, and it's like, okay, this movie I liked so much, I wanted to see more of it. And it stopped leaving me wanting to see more of it. And actually, I can't say that for many movies I've seen lately. So I'm going to go ahead and give it 5 stars and highly recommend it.
And you got the scene with his shirt off, and we know how you think about those kind of things.
Yeah.
Drew hasn't been here during any of the Hugh Jackman conversations and the other ones. Let me tell you something. For a film, I'm really surprised, for a film that's got this much porn in it, we have talked less about skin than in half of the other movies that we've talked about.
Ow.
I just like Hugh Jackman, that's all.
We all know. And if it helps, I do too.
Well, Drusilla, do you have any activities, upcoming events, podcasts, life-changing events that you would like to mention to our massive, massive audience here?
Life-changing events? No. Oh,
thank God.
No, Bobby and I will be at when is the next comic book show we're doing?
I believe it's October 19th. It's the North Texas Comic Con.
Yes.
Comic book show or whatever it is.
That's all I know of. Other life-changing events to come.
Well, Bobby, you want to go ahead and pimp your side and we will wrap it up.
Unlike wherever I bring my lovely wife.
Hey.
What? I said I bring you.
Oh, okay. I don't know where this is going. So
I was saying, other than that, calm down. This is what I live with, folks. I also have my webcomic, laststopcomic.com. I do the TV, film, comic reviews on examiner.com. You can just look up my name, Bobby Blakey. And I also have been sucked into the world of Jedi Cole, not only in this podcast, but numerous others periodically, as well as our weekly You Are Here Sunday Funnies, I believe that's what we're calling them, that Cole has his brilliant writing, and I do some mediocre art to go along with them. And we've got some other fun things coming up, and that is pretty much all.
Oh, well, thanks so much, you guys, for joining us today, and it looks like Don Juan is a hit. Do go out and see it. Thanks again, and we will see you guys next time on What'd You Think?